Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. I'm glad I asked you to sing that song. Because the words of that song was the fear of the Lord, right? And that's what I'm going to talk to you about this morning. I'm going to talk to you about fear. And we didn't plan this, but God did. It's nice how he plans and it all falls together, isn't it? Praise the Lord. I'm going to pause for a word of prayer and then I'll get into the word. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for your sweet, sweet spirit. Thank you for what you've done here already today, for ministering to your people, Father. And I just ask you that these words that I speak to them today, Father, that they would just encourage and strengthen and even loose some people out of a bondage of fear, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Last week I talked to you about anger. And I was going to talk to you about fear last week, too, but I didn't get that far because the Lord hadn't planned it that way, you know. And I thought the testimonies were wonderful last week. And you know, God just does all things well, you know. And so I'm just going to start off here, and I'm going to tell you, anger and fear are two emotions that paralyze our spiritual development, and they rob us of joy in our walk with Christ. Fear usually focuses on anticipation of the future, anxiousness about the future. And, you know, we don't always realize our hopes and our aspirations, and we always feel like our lives are going to crash in on us. In the future, will some uninvited calamity make an intrusion? You know, we've seen a lot of that in things that's went on in the world recently. You know, we saw that up in Newtown with those kids. I heard a testimony that they said that one of the little kids up there, that every time that the doorbell would ring, he would say, "Are the bad guys coming to get me?" And man, we need to pray for those kids, you know, because that was a traumatic thing. The ones who even survived it, that was a traumatic, traumatic thing. And we need to lift them in prayer. But fear is a terrible thing, and it can paralyze you. It can cripple you. It can cause a lot of problems. And, you know, in John 4:18, I love this scripture. It tells you there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out all fear. Because fear has torment. And it tells us that we're made perfect in love. And, you know, the only thing that can really ever keep you from having a attitude of fear or being fearful about things is realizing the love of God and how much he loves you and that you're so precious in his sight. You know, I got news for you. I think that any grandparent or any parent in here would probably give their life for one of their kids in an instant, rather than see one of their kids be hurt. And I know I feel that way, you know. But I'm going to tell you, Jesus did that too. He went to Calvary because he loved you so much. He gave his life that you might live. And you know, what a tremendous thing. You know, Matthew 11:28 says, and this is how we get past this fear and access his love. It says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." From the moment of your spiritual life until you're ushered into glory, the language of Christ to you will always be, "Come unto me." And you know, he's always inviting us, "Come, come." You know, and a lot of times we go everywhere else first. All right. And then we wonder why we don't feel at peace and why we don't have rest. Because we go to the place that we should go first, usually last. And I'm telling you, he's wanting us to come unto him. Psalms 90:12 says, "So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." Every day, let us renew our consecration to God's service. Every day, let us let us move in his strength and pledge ourselves afresh and anew to do his will. That's how you begin to enter into that, by every day saying, Lord, what would you have me do today? Lord, I love you. What would you have me do today? And you know, a lot of times we worry about, well, God, what's your plans for me in the future? Rather than saying, Lord, what's your plans for me today? Scripture says today, if you'll hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the day of provocation. Today. And you know, this is a day-by-day thing in walking with the Lord. It's not, you don't have to worry about 6 months from now or 3 weeks from now or whatever. Walk with him today. And if you walk with him today, he'll begin to take the fear away. He'll begin to take those things. Now, we do need to fear God. We know that Scripture tells us that the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom, you know. And we have to fear God. And we fear him in the way that he's so awesome. He's so big. He's so wonderful. That's the kind of fear we have, that we just, oh, God, how great are you? How far are your ways past me knowing? But I tell you what, that's what he wants to do, is reveal himself to you. You know, fear can, like I said, it can torment you. It can beat you down. It can just wreak havoc in your life. You know, Job 3:25 and 26, Job said, "For the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me, and that which I was afraid is come unto me." And then he said, in the next verse it says, "I was not in safety, neither had I rest, neither was I quiet, yet trouble came." Now, I want you to know that you are in safety, that you are at rest, and that you should be quiet and still. Those three things. Job wasn't doing any of those. And then he said, "But yet trouble came to me." Guess why? Because he wasn't doing those three things. And you know, God does a lot of things in threes in Scripture. And I want you to know, he wants us to realize that no plague can come nigh your dwelling. Nothing can touch you unless God allows it to touch you. Nothing. I don't care what it is. And if something's touching your life right now, what you need to do is say, "God, I acknowledge you right in the middle of this situation. God, I'm trusting you right in the middle of this situation. God, I'm going to dwell in your safety right in the middle of this situation." You know, a lot of people don't realize, but that's exactly what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did when they were cast into the fiery furnace. They stood up to Nebuchadnezzar, and they said, "Nebuchadnezzar, whether or not God will deliver us, we don't know. But one thing we do know, we're not going to bow down and worship your idol." And they were cast into the furnace of the fiery furnace that was heated so hot that the people that tried to cast them in were burned up just from getting close enough to cast them in, and were killed. And Nebuchadnezzar looked in there and saw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego walking around, which that's not really their names. That's the names that they were given there. Hanani, Azariah, and Mishael were the real names. Boy, those are good names. Look them up sometime. It'll shock you, you know. But they saw them in there walking around, and they threw them in there bound. And Nebuchadnezzar looked in there, and he says, "We threw three in there, but now I see four walking around in there." And he said, "And the fourth one's like unto the Son of God." Think he had a revelation? I believe he did. But I got news for you. There's nothing touches your life. There's nothing can happen without God being right in the middle of it, if you'll acknowledge him, if you'll just praise him, if you'll acknowledge him. But I want you to know, you dwell in safety. I want you to know he wants you to enter into his rest. You know, One of the words that's used for rest in Hebrews is the word repose. And the word repose literally has the meaning of calmness, freedom from anxiety, to lay down. It has a whole bunch of meanings like that. Freedom from anxiety. You ever get anxious about anything? You ever get anxious? Well, I want you to know he wants you to enter into his rest. His rest is glorious. His rest will cause people to be astounded at the way you react to what's going on around you. And part of the way that you enter into his rest is by getting quiet and still and knowing that he's God. I don't care what's going on around you, how much clamor, how much problems. I don't care what's happening. If you'll get quiet and still and say, Lord, I acknowledge you right in the middle of this situation. I'm trusting you right in the middle of this situation. You'll find that he'll give you that peace that passes understanding. Praise God. I'm going to read that to you out of Job, out of the Amplified Bible. And here's what Job said in verse 26. He said, I was not or am not at ease, nor had I or have I rest, nor was I or am I quiet. Yet trouble came and still comes upon me. Duh, wake up, Job. Wake up, Job. You know, and when that's happening in our lives, wake up and realize that you're not acknowledging God. You're not doing the three things that he wants you to do. He wants you to trust in the Lord and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And guess what? He'll be directing your paths. He'll be right there with you in any situation. I'm going to tell you something that a wise man said one time. And when I say this, most of you that's been around here for a while will know which wise man it was. A wise man once said, will it matter in 100 years? Will it matter in 100 years? What's happening to you right now? Will it matter in 100 years? And about 99.9% of the things that happen to you on a daily basis won't matter in 100 years. They won't even matter tomorrow a lot of times. The thing you got so upset about or let beat you down or got you so worked up or whatever, it isn't even going to probably matter a couple of days from now. Okay. I'm going to read you a couple of scriptures and then I'm going to tell you a story in a minute here. And Psalm 37, 7 through 9 says, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him. Do you believe that? The angel of the Lord encamps around about you. If you fear God, that song we were just singing about fearing God, the angel of the Lord's around you all the time. You know, I've told this story, and it's not my story, but I'll tell you this little quick story. Those that you've been around here a long time remember Lee Helpenstein. Lee was of Jewish descent, you know, originally. And Lee was kind of a rough, tough guy in his day. And he lived down in Elmwood, and he was pretty rough and tough, and he got saved. And he said he come out of church after he got saved one time, and he said he was one of the last guys to come out of the church. And he said he was all alone. And he said he saw two of the guys that he used to fight with in the bars coming up the street. And he said, I looked over and I thought, oh no, here we go, you know. And he said they walked up and they kind of looked over at him and then they went on. And he was kind of going, you know, and, you know, there was two of them, you know, it was one of him. Later on, he ran into one of those guys. And one of those guys had gotten saved in the meantime. And that guy told him, he says, you know that day I saw you coming out of that church over there, me and my buddy? He said, yeah. He said, we had heard you got saved. and we'd come up there and we were going to beat you up. We were going to try you and see. He said, if them other two guys hadn't been with you, we would have took you. He said, there wasn't anybody with me. But yes, there was. The angel of the Lord encamps about them that fear him. The angel of the Lord, the angel of the Lord encamps about you. The presence of God dwells inside of you. And you know what? His angels are ministering spirits sent to minister to the heirs of salvation. He ministers through people. He ministers through spiritual things, you know. But I just want you to know that the angel of the Lord encamps about you. In Psalm 25, 14, and 15 says, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. He will show them his covenant. My eyes are ever toward the Lord. He shall pluck my feet out of the net. There's nobody can lay a trap for you. There's nobody can put you in a bad situation that God can't pluck your feet right out of the net and get you right out of it. If you'll trust him. If you'll serve him. You know, Psalm 34, 11 through 15 says, come ye children and hearken unto me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good? Now here's what he says to do. Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Praise the Lord. Depart from evil, do good, seek peace, and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. Praise God. What a tremendous thing. Now I'm going to read you a little story here real quick. And this story it's out there a little bit, but I want you to know, I believe it's a true story. And the name of the story is called The Miracle Under the Hood. Okay? And it goes like this. It says, the names of the people that were in the story were lost. So we'll just call the two teenage sisters, Sherry and Susan. They had been shopping in a suburban mall when they were ready to go home. It was dark and too late. From the exit, they saw their car, the only one left in that section of the parking lot. They were nervous, waiting, hoping some customer would come along so they could all walk together. They were aware of the current crime wave in the area, shopping malls, and remembered Dad's warning, don't stay too late. And let me tell you what, if Dad tells you, don't stay too late, don't stay too late. Dad probably knows what he's talking about. Let us get with it now, Susan. So they shifted their packages and pushed open the door and walked as fast as they could, with Sherry following, both looking from side to side. They just made it. Sherry shoved the key in the door lock, got in and reached across to open Susan's door. Then they both heard the sound of running feet behind them. They turned to look and panicked. Racing toward their car were two ominous-looking men. One of the men shouted, we've got you now. You're not going anywhere. Susan jumped in, and they both locked the doors just in time. With shaking hands, Sherry turned the ignition switch. Nothing. She tried again. Nothing. She tried again. Nothing. Click of silence. No power. The men were ready to smash in the window. The girls knew that they only had scant seconds of safety left. They joined hands, and they prayed. Dear God, Susan pleaded, give us a miracle in the name of Jesus. Again, Sherry turned the key. The engine roared to life, and they raced out of the lot. The girls cried all the way home, shocked and relieved. They screeched into the driveway and pulled the car into the garage and burst into the house, spilling out their story to Mom and Dad. They held them both as they comforted the two frightened daughters. You're safe. Thank God. That's the main thing. But don't do it again, Dad said. Dads always tell you not to do it again. You always hear that from them. Then their father frowned. It's strange. That car was never failed to start. I'll just check it out. I'll take a look now. In the garage, he raised a hood. Stunned glance, he realized who had brought his daughters home safely that night. There was no battery in the car. Think about it. With God, his angels were camping about those girls. And when they called on him, a miraculous thing happened. I got news for you. The same God that was in the fiery furnace with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that same God and that same angel encamps about you every day. That same situation keeps you safe every day. You know, I thought we were going to get into Psalm 27 back in Sunday school this morning, but we didn't quite make it there. But I'm going to read you Psalm 27. And Psalm 27 was my mother's favorite psalm. And, she always told me, oh, I just love Psalm 27. That's my favorite one. And, you know, my father died when I was 4, and mother was left with 4 little kids. The oldest one was 10, and I was the youngest. I was 4. And, you know, mother had to get out and work. She didn't work up till that point. She had to get out and get a job. And she had to go off and leave 4 little kids every day because she didn't have the money to pay anybody to babysit us or anything. And I think I stayed with one woman for a few weeks here and there. But I'm going to tell you, as I can remember, it wasn't very pleasant to stay with that woman. She wasn't a very nice person. But you know, after a while, my older sister watched us, and she was only 10, 11 years old. And you don't think God's mercy and his hand was on us? If I told you some of the things that I did as a kid, you just wouldn't believe it. I can remember one time when I was 5 years old, I think about 5 or 6 years old, my two sisters were out somewhere. They'd left, which they weren't exactly watching me. I don't know where my brother was, but you know, I can remember going and getting some pop bottle cartons and stacking them up in the floor and squirting lighter fluid on them and lighting them. I had a bonfire going right in the middle of the floor. Well, I finally smartened up and went in the kitchen and got some water and dumped some water on it and got it stopped. Well, I cleaned it up. Well, we had it wasn't a recliner back then, but it was one of them big rocking chairs, you know. And I can remember pushing the rocking chair up over the burnt hole in the floor, hoping my mom wouldn't see it. And I still remember when she came home, she just cried and cried and cried. She said, you could have been burnt up. And you know what? Had not the angel of the Lord been camping about me that day, I would have been dead. I was only about 5 years old. Did she spank me? No. But just seeing her cry was enough. That was enough I hated to make my mom cry, you know, because she wasn't a crier. And you know, she just cried her eyes out when she saw that. But you know, that was God's mercy. And I want you to know that we don't have to fear anything in our lives. Fear has torment. Fear will keep you from moving into the things of God. If God gives you a word or tells you to do something, I want you to know, do it in his strength. You might be a little fearful on the inside, but realize that he told you to do it and move out and do whatever he told you. You know, I can remember, you know, I told you all I've shared this before, but when I was 9, I had epilepsy for 3 years running. And, you know, had the EEG tests and the whole bit, you know. And I had convulsive seizures, and I had them for like 3 years. off and on. And, you know, I can remember, you know, mother coming out of the back room one time having prayed, and she said, "Son, if I know the voice of the Lord, you'll never have another seizure. God told me he's healing you." And guess what? I never had another seizure. But that didn't take the fear of that away. That didn't take the fear of that away. And any time that I'd get a little numbness in my mouth or something like that, I would say, oh, no, because I'd feel like I was going to have a seizure again. And even when I went and had an EEG test for years and years after that because I couldn't get my license or anything like that, you know, I could only get them for 6 months at a time, even though I hadn't had seizures for years. I'd have to go get EEG tests. And then I would always feel like I was going to have a seizure. And after I got saved, and I've shared this a few weeks back, after I got saved, I went into one of the men's prayer meetings one night. And this old brother came over to me, and he said, "Brother Oscar," he said, "the Lord keeps speaking the word epilepsy to me." He said, "Do you have epilepsy?" I said, "No," which I didn't. He said, "Did you ever have epilepsy?" I said, "Yes." He said, "Do you have a fear of it?" I said, "Yes." He said, "God wants you to confess that that fear is gone." I said, "Okay." That was on a Tuesday night. Then on a Wednesday night, we had a Wednesday night service. I went into the Wednesday night service, and I was kind of a backward person. I didn't like getting up in front of crowds. I didn't like anything like that because I'd had seizures out in public, and it made me not want to get in big public surroundings and that kind of thing, you know. And that's one reason why, maybe that's one reason why the Lord chose me to be pastor in this church. I don't know. Because, I you know, it doesn't bother me anymore to do that. But I can't say that I'm gung-ho to jump out in front of a bunch of people and talk, because I'm not. But, you know, God usually has you do something that you don't really necessarily want to do. Because you have to rely on him when he does that. But that next Wednesday, that Wednesday night, I came in there, and Brother Eddie says, "Has anybody got a testimony?" And I remembered what that brother said to me, and I raised my hand, and I said, "Yeah, I do." And he said, "Okay, what is it?" I stood up, and I said, "I want to thank God for taking the fear of epilepsy away from me." And all the time when I raised my hand and stood up, I felt like I was going to have a seizure. All the time. I mean, that's how I just felt that nervous. I felt like I was going to have a seizure. The minute that I spoke those words out, it was gone. And I've never had that fear since then. Now, Miles Shepherd was the one who said, "Will it matter in 100 years?" Miles had epilepsy. And, you know, I can remember the first time I came in church and was sitting in the back. It wasn't the first time I was in church, but it was the first time I'd seen him sitting on the platform, and he had a seizure in church, and I can remember that. And I wasn't even looking at him, but I heard the sound, and my stomach almost tied in a knot when I heard it, because I thought, oh, no, because I knew exactly what was happening, you know. And, you know, I was a real, real young Christian. Had I been a little older Christian, I might have went up and prayed for him and rebuked that thing in the name of Jesus. I just might have done that. But I don't, you know, today I might would do something like that. Back then, you know, I was too young of a Christian at that point. But I want you to know, God does not want us to be a fearful people. We can be fearful about finances. We can be fearful about our relationships with other people. We can be fearful about our jobs. We can be fearful about a lot of different things. And I want you to know, and I'm going to share this poem, and I've shared it before, and this poem, I know this poem has probably went around the world because people have sent it out to a lot of different people. But I feel like this is one of the keys, and I'm going to share it with you. It's, "Why do you struggle? And why do you fret? When all that you accomplish is to get upset. When everything seems to go the wrong way, just lift up your hands and begin to pray. And truly to praise me in all these things, my peace will lift you as though you had wings. And as you look on the problems below, I will give you the strength and the wisdom to know that surely I hold you in the palm of my hand, and that nothing can touch you unless it's part of my plan. And I want you to know that's a prophetic poem. God gave that to me years ago, and I live and die by that poem because I know that that's the truth, that nothing can touch you unless God allows it. And if he does, then what you need to do is draw close to him, come unto me, and begin to ask, Lord, I don't understand what's happening, but I'm going to trust you right in the middle of it. I'm going to praise you right in the middle of it. I'm going to acknowledge you, and I'm going to see what wonderful things you do. And I'll tell you what, you might not understand it, and it might be a little even down the road before you understand what he did in that situation. But I want you to know, you're his kids. He loves you. He allows nothing to come into your life that is not for your good, ultimately. Romans the 8th chapter. And we know that all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord and are the called according to his purpose. All things. Doesn't say all good things. It says all things. But I want you to know it's all going to be good. Okay, one more little story, and I think some of you have heard this before, but and then I'm going to close with this. There was an old Chinaman, and he had one grandson. And the old Chinaman had one horse. And the horse that he had, he sent the grandson out to water and feed the horse. And the grandson went out to water and feed the horse, and when he went out to water and feed it, he forgot to latch the gate. The horse ran off. All the people gathered around the town and said, oh, that's bad luck, that's bad luck, that's bad luck. And the old Chinaman, he was a wise man, and he said, how do you know? Because he didn't judge things by the surface of what was going on. Well, that horse went out, and he got in, mixed in with a herd of horses. And there kind of began to be a little bit of a drought in the land, and the horses couldn't find no water. Well, that horse remembered that back in that enclosure, there was food and water. So he come back down there, and the other horses followed him. And when they followed him, the old grandfather told the kid, run out and open the gate quick, run out and open the gate. And he opened the gate, and all the horses ran into the enclosure. And then he hollered, close the gate, close the gate. He closed the gate. Well, he had a whole bunch of horses now. Well, then they decided that they were going to break some of them and sell them. So they sent the young boy out to try to break some of the horses. And he's out there, and he gets on one, and he's trying to break it so it can be ridden, and it throws him off and breaks his arm. Well, what I forgot to tell you is that the people from the town gathered around when they got all these horses, oh, that's good luck, that's good luck. Well, then he sent the boy out to break one of the horses. It threw him off, it broke his arm. All the people of the town gathered around, oh, that's bad luck, that's bad luck. Well, then a warlord came through that area, and he gathered up all of the young men of that area. And that boy was of the age where he could go to war. Well, because he had a broken arm, he didn't have to go to war. So what seemed to be bad, what seemed to be good, what seemed to be bad, what seemed to be good, really, in essence, saved that boy's life. Because all of those young men were killed when they went off to battle. And you know what? That's the way the things are in God. You can't figure God out. Don't try. Don't try to figure out what he's doing. And he's not going to tell you everything that he's doing. Because if he did, you wouldn't grow an ounce. He wants you to trust him. He wants you to not lean to your own understanding. He wants you to acknowledge him in all your ways. And let me tell you what. Scripture tells us that the steps of a man are what? Ordered of the Lord. Wait a minute. Even the bad steps I took? Well, you know what? He was there, whether you knew it or not. He was watching over you. Have you ever let one of your kids do something stupid? And you knew they were doing something stupid? And you let them do the stupid thing because you knew that they had learned a lesson that would teach them for the rest of their life? I have. And I'm sure any parent sitting out there or anybody that's dealt with young people has done that. And you know what? You know how I learned most of the stuff I ever learned? By doing stupid stuff. But I just want you to know, you don't have to fear in God. Perfect love casts out all fear. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that they might have life and have it more abundantly. And I want you to know that's the way it is with you. And when things are going awry in your life and everything, just begin to acknowledge him. Begin to praise him. Begin to say, Lord, I don't understand this. This seems really crazy, but thank you, Lord. I know you know exactly what you're doing. I'm going to praise you in the middle of this situation. And I'm telling you, you'll come out on the other end of it, and then he'll let you see what he did. And then you'll have a testimony then. You'll be able to stand up here and say, well, I felt like I was going to have a seizure all the time I stood up, but once I spoke those words, I never had that fear again. You'll be able to say that, you know, I was hurt and I couldn't work, but God allowed Margaret to get jobs at that time, which she didn't really work that much, allowed her to get jobs. We never missed a beat. We never got behind on one bill. I had a motorcycle wreck years and years ago. Didn't miss a beat. Had landlords come down, were going to raise my rent. They saw me with a broken ankle and decided not to raise my rent. They didn't raise it for about 5 years after that, you know, when I was renting. And you know what? God looks out for you. He looks out for you. Even at that time when that happened, we had a mutual aid society where I worked, which was supposed to be like sickness and accidents insurance. And I had been on the committee and was supposed to audit the books of them, and I'd tried to audit that guy's books about 4 or 5 times, and it went to the president of that mutual aid society and told him, he won't let me audit his books. Oh, Joe's okay. Don't worry about Joe. Joe's a good guy. Joe stole all the money. There was no money in there. Joe was a good guy, all right. He was having fun on the money. But when I needed it, guess what? There was no money in there. But you know what? God has promised to supply your needs. And I can tell you of a truth. I can stand up like David and I can say, because I'm getting up there, once I was young and now I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor their seed begging bread. You don't have to beg bread. It's your Father's good pleasure to take care of you, and he will take care of you if you just are obedient and do the things he tells you to do. Praise God. If you all will stand, we'll close in a word of prayer. But I want you to know you don't have to fear. You don't have to have fear. Fear the Lord. Fear him with that awesome fear. He's a big God, mighty God, no limits in him. And I'm telling you, when you come into the presence of the Lord and his power falls in situations, it's hard to stand. And you get scared in the natural a little bit. It makes this flesh quake a little bit. But I want you to know he loves you with an everlasting love. And he wants to supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. And you don't have to fret. You don't have to worry about anything. Like that poem goes, you don't have to struggle and you don't have to fret. Because all you'll do if you do that is get upset, you know. Praise God. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just ask you to bless your people, Father. Help us all, Father, to have just that assurance and not to fear. And not to come to you last, but come to you first. Come to you immediately. Not wait until we have to be in a situation way longer than what's necessary for us to be there. But I just thank you, Father, and I just praise you because you're a mighty God, you're a loving God, and what a privilege it is to be able to say, Abba, Father, my very own Father. And we just thank you today, and I ask you to bless your people. In Jesus' name we pray. And if anybody like prayer, we'd be glad to pray with you. Cynthia, if you want to play something, or we can, or if you guys want to play, you're welcome to do it. If not, then anybody want to play anything?